B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maserati coming to you from Canal Street out in front of the Boston Garden as we get ready for Stanley Cup Finals Game 1 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have a fully loaded program. We got Maz here next to me. We got Big Jim Murray in his Bruins yellow and black. Did you buy that shirt especially?
Yeah. No, when I was feeling good about this run, I actually bought it a couple of weeks ago with the matching Jordan Lowe's, too, in the same color, yellow and black. You know, you got to get into it. I'm a festive guy.
Oh, yeah, Paul Bunyan is a Bruins fan over here.
If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, just picture, again, dated reference, Belushi and Aykroyd in or the Pittsburgh Steelers' wretched alternate jerseys.
Yeah, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Like a big, stupid B.
Murray's got a big, stupid B next to us here, but we got you covered for five full hours coverage up until game one again of the Stanley Cup Finals, which you'll hear here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We will have guests throughout the day here all day long. Again, we're going until 7 o'clock today, so we got you covered. I also wanted to let you know that Beadle and Zoe are giving away Bruins tickets tomorrow for game two at 12:50. Beadle meant to mention that. He forgot, so he asked me if I would do it, and I actually remembered. Wouldn't you know it? Beadle and Zoe giving away Bruins tickets to game two tomorrow at 12:50. That's right. No small deal.
No, that is, given them what these things are going for, that is no small get at all.
Damn straight. Okay, so opening thoughts. How do we feel? You know, it's been a while since we convened. We had the weekend, and it's been 11 freaking days between games. Any developing opinions? Where do you stand on this series, Maz, heading into tonight?
Well, so look, again, I mean, I think the thing's going to be a grind. My opinion on that hasn't changed. I'm eager to see what it looks like in the early part of the game, particularly the first period, to see what, if any, residue there is on the Bruins for this, you know, this layoff. But I'll tell you what I like seeing is that I saw some comments from Marchand today in the Globe where he said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, I think we have the audio too, but Marchand said something to the effect of, hey, look, you know, we lost in 2013 and that still haunts me. It still haunts me. And I thought, that's exactly the mentality they need.
It's a great cut. I heard Beadle and Zoe play it earlier. Jimmy, if you could pull that up, and just FYI, Dennis and Jimmy, I haven't heard Jimmy yet in my ear, so I don't know if he's not up or whatever. Sorry, I just haven't heard from back in.
Hi, I'm ready to go.
Oh, hey, Jimmy, how you doing? Play this Marchand. Oh, just great. Thank you so much. Play this Marchand cut Maz is talking about. It's tremendous.
You know, it was so sweet to win, but it hurts to lose. I mean, that was devastating. That still hurts to this day. I mean, it was a tough time for Boston. Obviously, it was going through a lot, and we were kind of hoping to, you know, to be a bright spot. That one hurt a lot. It's still something I think about all the time to this day, and you know, how much that one hurt, how nice it would have been to win, and again, all the things that could have gone differently, that we would have liked to go differently, that I could have done differently, you know, it's... That'll never leave you. It's going to haunt me.
I mean, I saw that comment and I said, that's exactly where they need to be. They need to buy into that sort of mentality. Because I do think there was this sentiment among Bruins fans that once they got in and then the Blues won, that, oh, it's the Blues, we own the Blues, no problem, five games, four games, which I think is preposterous. And the Bruins have been off for a while. And I think anything that they can latch onto, even if it's just the fear of losing again, which is what Marchand is talking about there, and the taste that you have to live with, from whatever it takes to motivate yourself to be locked in and win this thing, grab onto it. And so I was happy to see that, because with an 11-day layoff and wanting, you know, having won six in a row or seven in a row, it was, I worry a little bit about, you know, how sharp they are mentally and physically, and I would. To me, that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's 11 days that's felt like 2 months. So I have to expect. I think everyone has to expect that there's going to be a little bit of rust tonight. Just how can there not be? But the one thing more than anything else, and it's words I never thought I would utter in my life, I'm ultra confident in Tuukka Rask. And wow. It's because of the way he's been during this run. He's been the better of these two goalies. I mentioned it before between him and Binnington in this run. And, you know, you have to extrapolate some empty netters that happened during both of the runs for both of these two. But that being said, there's five games where Binnington and the Blues have given up four goals or more during this run. And one was legit where he gave up six goals against the Winnipeg Jets. So he's been leaky. He's the reason they're here in the first place, obviously, in their turnaround from January on. But he has not been as good as Rask has been during this playoff run, and I have to think that's going to end up catching up with St. Louis.
Yeah, so one of the things I was going to ask you guys is which goalie is more likely to crack? Are you implying, Jim Murray, that Bennington's already cracked?
A little. I think there's been leakiness. I think it's fair to say. Again, looking at some of these games, against Winnipeg in that first series, there was six goals. Against San Jose, there was four. There was one, there was six, there was an empty net there. But it was five. So, yeah, I think that it's fair to say that Binnington has been leaky a bit during this run.
Okay. I question, you know, look, he's a good goalie. I question whether he's great. And there's a, you know, there's an obvious difference there. Tuukka has been great this postseason. And so, I just think Binnington has an unbelievably good defensive core in front of him. And so I want to see what it looks like firsthand in big games. I want to see it. And I know what the numbers are. I've seen the highlights. I've seen some of the games beyond highlights. But I'm still not totally convinced he's 100% legit.
Well, so in the regular season, .927 save percentage, .189 goals against. In the postseason, .914, .236. So the numbers have gone down.
Sure.
So has he already been punctured?
Maybe.
Has that already happened? And we just don't really know it because he's protected by Great D or they've advanced and we are not watching every night over there. I mean, is it possible he's already hit the wall?
But you guys, and Maz, you said it too, in watching the San Jose series, because the Bruins swept, so you obviously had hockey to watch. Like, okay, let's figure out which one of these two teams are playing.
There were some softies
there. There were some
there.
Soft goals he gave up.
There were some softies in there.
Okay, so that's one topic. Which goalie is most likely to crack? So are most Bruins fans, are you guys like Murray? Or you now are actually confident in Rask? You're not waiting for him to crap himself? Because we've always been waiting for Rask to crap himself for years. We always wait for Rask to crap himself. Is that over? Do you guys agree with that? Couple little things. The refs were announced. Sutherland's one of them. I can't remember the other one. They were talking about it at the midday. Both those guys that are reffing tonight are considered to call it tight. Call a lot of penalties, have called it tight. Is that to the Bruins' advantage or disadvantage?
Bruins' advantage. Absolutely.
Agreed.
And so St. Louis and the Bruins have been the two least penalized teams in the postseason. And the Bruins have been the best special teams team in the postseason, the best power play going. So I think anything that results in people going into the penalty box benefits the Bruins. If you end up with four power plays aside or five power plays aside, edge Bruins. You end up with one or two, edge Blues. And so I think it's really that simple. Now, look, it can change inside of a series, but knowing what we know right now, absolutely, the more penalties, the better. Bruins, their power play is ridiculous.
No question. And if you look at a lot of the numbers, both sort of normal stats and all these advanced stats, the Blues have been a better 5-on-5 team. Not by much, but they've tracked better 5-on-5 in the playoffs than the Bruins have. So this is sort of odd. It's a reversal. The Bruins are always really strong 5-on-5 and lost it on special teams. Now they're just sort of the opposite.
It's the exact, as you said, ass backwards of 2011. Right? Like, the whole metamorphosis of the Bruins I find fascinating. You know, the fact that look at what they were in 2011. And I don't mean in terms of success. I mean stylistically. What they were and what they went up against and where they are now. The Bruins. Bruins. The Bruins we're talking about. The lunch pail, blue collar, bare knuckle Bruins are now a little faster and a little more skilled with small defensemen who carry the puck out of the zone. Like, that whole thing blows me away. And again, that's speaking from the context of, you know, from the real big picture spanning over decades of how the Bruins have transformed and become what they've become. So, you know, if they could win this one again as a bookend with a totally different style, tell me that doesn't speak volumes for what they've done as an organization.
No question. But if the referees do call it tight, I do like the special teams advantage for the Bruins. I think that's sort of a consensus opinion. I happen to agree with it. One last little thing. Marchand sat out a weekend practice, right?
Yes.
With a hand?
Yeah.
And didn't he bang up his hand in that stupid inter-squad scrimmage on Thursday night?
That is correct. And they downplayed it. Cassidy downplayed it afterwards. And I forget which one of the players said that maybe he was in playing possum just to screw with the crowd a little bit. I don't know. Why'd you have the maintenance day yesterday? I'm not buying it. I think he did do something.
I mean, I saw the little clip of him skating to the bench and whatnot. That, I don't know. He's going to put all that on to fake out 18,000 people? And what's that going to do? I mean, I don't know. I think he banged his hand. And that's going to piss me off if he struggles, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It absolutely should. Because that thing, while good for fans, and a lot of people have been priced out here because of what the tickets are going for, was mostly useless. let's be honest. It was. Even how some of the players were talking afterwards. I think Rask said, what'd you make it tonight? And his quote was, I was here.
the players didn't like the thing.
I don't think so. I don't.
And if Marchand just a little bit, anything. If he just banged his hand, that's going to bug the crap out of me.
I mean, since when do you get a maintenance day the day before the Stanley Cup begins when you've been off for a week and a half?
You've had a week. Right. You've had a week and a half to maintain and maintenance. Right. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's not a maintenance day. Sorry. That's a, walkthrough kind of day where everybody, it's a maintenance day for everybody, not for one guy. We're going to go through final preparations for the Cup. So I didn't love that.
I don't love it at all.
I mean, that made me, because initially I thought, he's messing with people. He's fine. And then yesterday happened, and I went, well, hold on now. My whole mindset on it changed.
Same.
Scared the crap out of me. So now that's all you need out there is to have him and Pasternak playing with jelly hands out there, the two of them.
Okay. Keep an eye on that one, folks. That's on the table. We'll take your calls all day long. Okay, we're going to have a lot of guests, but we'll also take your calls. So I don't know if the hounds have been released, but your phone number is 617-779-0985. Once again, want to tell Felger, Maz will be here till 7 o'clock tonight. No baseball reporters, Maz. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. Why? You mean you think baseball's on the mind of any of these people?
So we've got that. We're at the Fan Fest. We're on Canal Street. We're right across the street from this Bruins stage where they tell me there's going to be a band going on there and blaring music in our face.
That should be good.
Excellent.
Yeah. So at 4 o'clock, that should be good.
Great timing.
Maybe we can send them over to Fan Fest.
Okay. So come on by and say hi to Maz and Murray. Take a picture with Murray's shirt. He'd love to chat you up. And that's it. We're going to do this until 7 o'clock, just like that. Once again, I want to remind you, we'll have Bruins tickets for you tomorrow at 12:50. You can win Bruins tickets at 12:50 with Beadle and Zolak. Otherwise, we are off and running on a Memorial Day. And join us with your calls. We'll start rolling some guests right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill, sponsored by Bud Light, Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Now centered, fired, Rask, a stop on Matthews, point blank. Marner shoots, Rask the save, rebound, Rask able to stop the return from Mitch Marner, who's denied. Innes over the line, right side, walks in, shoots, Rask the save, they go blocker again. Centered out in front, Innes taking a couple of whacks at it, he couldn't put a fork on it.
Marner over the line near side, goes rink wide, centered out in front, Hyman the stop on Rask. He drove it at the near post. Rask slid across, made the save.
Generally speaking, you need your goaltender to hold you in there. And I thought Tuukka was outstanding. Had a real good series. Tuukka was great tonight.
Duchesne back in the net. He centered Rask the save on Atkinson. And then Rask again, a blocker save on Atkinson. Now right circle is fired. And Rask a right pad save. Rebound Harrington. Rask a right pad. 3-on-2 the other way for Carolina Hamilton. Centers fired. Rask slid across. What a stop. The two pad stack. He gets him at the far post. 40's on fire.
Well, it means a lot. You know, I mean, it's so difficult to advance in the playoffs, let alone, you know, make to the finals. So like Bergie said, we need to, you know, really enjoy this, but, you know, realize that we have a lot of work to do.
All right, there's a look at Tuukka Rask through this postseason. Joining us now from our Star Market broadcast booth on Canal Street at the Boston Sports Grill, Joe McDonald writes for The Athletic. Joe, Murray said this earlier, and I'm curious how Boston fans feel. I'm curious how you feel. Are you done doubting Tuukka Rask? Like, always somewhere in the back of our mind, we think he's going to crap himself, right? Or that's the way it's been. That's the way it's been for 5-6 years. Is that over?
I was just having this discussion with someone 10 minutes ago, Michael. And look, I've been critical of him since his days in Providence. And I always said until he did this, you know, that when that's when he would become an elite goalie.
This for the radio on, it's being lift
okay,
the Stanley Cup.
Sorry, that, right, lift the Stanley Cup, sorry.
He's not there yet.
But given no matter what happens in the Stanley Cup final, whether they win or they lose, he's reached that level.
Yo, wait a minute.
He has. He has. You know why?
If they lose and he plays poorly?
No, he won't play poorly. He will not play
okay,
poorly.
Okay, so you're one of these. You're a convert.
You know, I appreciate what he's been able to do. He really has. And if you go back to 13, he played well, but not good enough, right? And you could say that Corey Crawford for the Hawks back then stole games, and Tuukka didn't, and he didn't. This year, he stole games against Maple Leafs, certainly against the Blue Jackets, and they just shut, you know, the Hurricanes down defensively. So, Tuukka, he's reached that level.
So that's just it. I say to you, what if he loses and plays poorly? You're like, he's not going to play poorly.
He won't play poorly. So the one thing is the break.
Are you that convinced?
God, no. What are you kidding me? No, all it's going to take is one bad game at the wrong time, and everything will change.
That might be tonight. That might be game one because of the layoff. The layoff doesn't bother me for an overall team aspect. But for Tuukka and for a goaltender, it does. It's concerning. And I think given the fact that he's had 10, 11 days off, that there is going to be some big-time rust going into game one.
To me, it's just the opposite. To me, I think it's going to be the team, and he's going to be the one to bail him out. I mean, that's I know, just talking to some ex-NHLers. Amonte's big on it's the skaters. The goalies are in their own world. They get their own work.
He's definitely in his own world.
You know, and it's like it's the team. It's the skaters.
The one thing about Tuukka, though, guys, is that we've noticed a lot of normally he doesn't like to talk about himself. Okay, but there have been plenty of times this postseason where he has said, yes, I'm well rested. This is the freshest I have felt in years. Like, he's used I a bunch of times, and that's not like him. He's very calm. He's poised. So, and, you know, you talk to a lot of former NHLers or GMs or coaches, and they all say it's what Tuukka does right now that is going to give them the best chance to win.
So it's one thing to say that the presence of Halak minimized the workload, kept him fresher. Do you think that the presence of Halak at all made him mentally sharper, that there was a real threat there?
I totally agree with that. I mean, that was why Don Sweeney wanted to go out and get Halak during the offseason. Look, nothing against Andon Hudobin. When he was here, he did what he was supposed to do. But they needed a legit number one B guy to come in, and Halak's that guy. You know, and I really believe that that game plan back last summer, which was, you know, 52 to 55 games for Rask, and you can go back throughout all the cup-winning goalies over the last few years, and they've been in that range. And even in 2013, the lockout-shortened year, Tuukka had some unbelievable numbers.
But, Joe, I even mean the threat of someone taking his job.
No question. Yeah. Absolutely, because it got to a point where he knew that Hudobin wasn't going to take his job. You know, he was good for a, you know, 3-4-game stretch, and then that was it. But Halak is a guy that he has shown in the past that if he can get on a run, he could sustain that for a long period of time, especially in the playoffs. So without a doubt, Tuukka, that, you know, that had an effect on his mental aspect to this. And look, after he had that little personal leave of absence, and when he came back, that's when he started going on that tear, you know, because Halak was really good. And it's like, you know, this guy can take my job. And they want that internal competition, and they created it. And this is where they are right now with Tuukka.
Joe McDonald, The Athletic. How about the other guy? Is his bubble more likely to burst? And as I've been asking, has it already actually burst a little bit, and we just haven't noticed it?
With Tuukka?
No, Bennington.
Oh, you know what? If you go back to 2016, the Pittsburgh Penguins, Matt Murray was the rookie then, and they rode him right to till they hoisted the Stanley Cup. And I think with Bennington, it's somewhat similar. And look, he's a rookie. He's not expected to do what he's done, but he has, and he's probably flying high. I think the break maybe for him could affect him a little bit. Like, wow, I'm going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, whoa, like, okay, hold up. So I don't think it's burst. The one thing about the whole aspect, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it, is that since he played for the Providence Bruins last season, I know a lot's been made of that, but here's the thing that's interesting. Is that goalie Bob, as the Bruins call him, Bob Asenza, the goalie coach, he will put together a scouting report, a video of the opposing goalie. He does it all season long. And he makes it interesting. And what he does is, and I found this out yesterday, is that he uses, you know, so Binnington, for example, it's all the goals against. He shows the Bruins players all the horrible goals that he gave up. He's not going to show the Bruins players a highlight reel save from this kid, you know, or a game-winning save. It's all about how he was beat. And it makes any world-class goalie look ordinary. So when those players leave that video room, they're like, huh, we can beat this kid. So knowing that that's what they watched yesterday, and he's a rookie goaltender, so it's going to be interesting how that impacts, you know, games one and two here.
Okay, so outside of the goaltending, what does the series come down to? What's the key?
Cassidy said it yesterday, and I agree. It does come down to experience. It comes down to those small little intangibles, which at this time of the year, look, you guys know you need a lot of luck to win the Stanley Cup, right? I mean, that's a huge intangible. And I think based on the experience, based on the way Tuukka's playing, the depth is similar, but I think that's what it comes down to, and I do. I think the Bruins win this in seven games.
Why am I worried about Marchand now? Because he took a maintenance day yesterday. So, look, you're around them all the time. Is there reason to be worried about Marchand?
Well, injections are good at this time of the year, no matter. I mean, speculating, we don't know what it is. I mean, he had that collision in the scrimmage. He walked out after that game with a jacket over his arm.
Oh, he did?
Probably with a big ice pack on it.
Oh, crap.
Right? And he practiced.
When you say injection, I'm sorry, did I miss something?
No, I'm just saying, like, if guys are bruised and banged up and, you know, they need, if there's something wrong with the arm, with the wrist, the hand, no matter what it is, like, you know, shoot them all with something.
Yeah, get through it.
I mean, these guys do that this time of the year.
Sure.
The one thing, if he
so
is.
So you think the injury is legit?
I think that he's dealing with something, absolutely.
Oh, great.
Like, he was out on the ice today, you know, for the morning skate, and he looked fine. Look, we all thought that there was something wrong with Pasta early in the, you know, in the
there was
and there was. So now the one thing, if Marchand is dealing with something, the one aspect that it would concern me is the power play, because the power play has been so good since halfway through the Columbus series until now, and it's going to be a physical series, so they're going to get power play opportunities, and if he's hurting at all and he's not able to move the puck to Bergeron or to Pasternak, that could have an effect. Again, total speculation. I'm just saying it appears that he is bothered by something, at least from my observation.
Terrific.
And if that's the case, it's really going to hurt them on the power play.
Okay. If St. Louis has it, in closing, if St. Louis has the advantage over you in anything, what is it?
Maybe defense. They probably have a little more experience on defense overall. They're bigger on defense. It's something that the Bruins haven't faced a lot in this postseason. And the forecheck, the St. Louis forecheck is pretty intense. And when you have undersized defensemen like a Krug, like a Grizzly, who they have played very well this postseason with that kind of forecheck, but not this type of heavy forecheck. They haven't been used to that, so that's something to keep an eye on.
You got Maz shaking his head over here.
Because I'm worried about that. I am. I told you when we were talking about it last week, their forwards on the smaller Bruin D and the Bruins, some of the Bruins' smaller forwards against their bigger, more plodding D, to me, could be the key to the whole series. I think those matchups in there are going to be huge.
Those are important matchups, Maz. But the one thing I think is that because of guys like Grizzlick and Krug, they're so good going back to play the puck. They can move the puck quickly. They're agile on their skates. Look, they've taken some big hits in this playoffs, but they get right back up. So the one thing is that they know that's coming, and it is. The breakout is going to be a very key aspect for the Bruins in the series because of that forecheck.
All right, folks, read Joe McDonald in The Athletic. Look forward to his coverage on the Bruins. Thanks, Joe, for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. Nice threads, Joe.
All right, we've got an update with Big Jim Murray. Then we're back with your calls. We'll take your call, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market booth, sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Maz on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. We really appreciate your support. We really appreciate your support coming out, and thanks for cheering for us, and keep getting as loud as you can. We really need it. We really love you guys supporting us, screaming and cheering us to go on. So we are not done yet, and we keep going.
Yeah, thank you guys. It's been amazing. The support we've received from the start of this run, it's been incredible. Inter-squad game, and it's a packed house. I can't believe it. It's awesome. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the support. Obviously, we're very thankful to be in this position to be competing for a Stanley Cup. And obviously, we're not done yet. We have four more to go. It's been an incredible ride, but we're not satisfied. So let's keep it going. Thank you.
That was Charin Bergeron thanking the crowd on Thursday. Gotta hope Marchand didn't get banged up in the process.
Our goal is to win, Cap.
To your phones, as promised, Felger and Mazum, our Star Market booth on Canal Street at the Bruins Fan Fest. Got you covered up until 7 o'clock tonight. Getting you right up until Bruins pregame. Anthony on Cape Cod, lead us off today. Go ahead, Anthony.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm actually really worried about this series for a lot of the reasons you guys pointed out. I just think I'm afraid that this team can kind of beat us at our own game and get to those dirty areas and when those, they're really physical. I just want to say something about the goaltending. First of all, I think you can just throw the stats out. I don't really look at goaltending stats. I look at you're in the Stanley Cup. So sometimes it's better just to not know. And I think with a rookie, he doesn't have a history. I mean, if the Bruins come out flat and they're able to rattle Rask a little bit, don't you think there's a great chance he's going to be leaving a big finish log in the back of the net?
Now, see, that's the old Tuukka Rask commentary I'm used to. The finish log in the back of the net.
I mean, we got leash calls late last week. People don't believe the way I do right now.
What is Rask's leash? That's right. You know, well, I mean, this is where, you know, experience. What if a lot of your experience is negative experience? And that becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. So I hear what the caller's saying. I don't expect it from Rask either. Like, am I totally convinced he's not going to play poor? You know, no. But you have to be confident in him. But, I mean, he makes a point. I mean, Binnington doesn't know what it's like to choke a Stanley Cup. So maybe that helps him. Mike and Methuen on Binnington. Go ahead, Michael.
I think Binnington can be had. But I think the key offensively for the Bruins this series is going to be whether or not they're going to be able to get second chance opportunities against that Blues D, because I really do like them a lot. And he's a bit aggressive, and if you can get those second and third chance opportunities against him, he can let in a goal or two, or six.
Okay, well, yeah, let me stop you there. What are your chances of getting second chance opportunities against that
team?
Well,
so it's one of the things I'm worried about, because those guys are monsters, and you're not going to be able to get to those pucks. You saw it in the San Jose series. I guess it was the last game, right, where there was a puck that was basically sitting in the crease. And San Jose couldn't get to it because the Blues just clogged up the area. They're massive in there. So this is where I think, like, maybe Backes can give the Bruins something there. You know, DeBrusque, I know Cassidy mentioned him as being potentially a key guy, but those guys who have a nose for the net and stick their heads in there and have some size to them, those guys are going to matter in this series.
Brian in Fort Lauderdale, what do you think?
I think minimum this series is going to go in five, but the way St. Louis has been playing, I wouldn't be surprised if we went to seven.
And that's it? That's your call?
Yes, sir.
Okay, babe. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes seven.
Good talk.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the heads up.
Feel free to bring a little bit more than that if you want, folks. 617-779-0985. Dennis.
Yeah, I think it's going maybe six or seven.
Dennis and Beverly. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, guys. I think that the teams I think the Bruins have more of an advantage than everybody's saying. I think their offense is much deeper. I do think the Blues' advantage is defense. And I think that if guys like DeBrusque can get going, along with the players in the Bruins are already hitting their stride, that we can beat them. But on a second note, something you're reaching out for, until he hoists, Tuukka still kind of concerns me. He is proving me wrong this year, but until he hoists, I'm still skeptical.
Okay, I hear you, Dennis. That's not just a Tuukka Rask thing. I started to point this out last week. That's any great athlete that's been knocking at the door that hasn't won a championship. We look at him differently. We look at any guy like that differently until he wins it all. And that's so Rask is now in this place. He's in the place David Price was in. He was in the – there's a lot of athletes. Ovechkin, et cetera, go down the line.
It's the Peyton Manning complex is what that is. I mean, granted, he did break through, but for years, it's like, well, all a matter of time before he pees his pants.
Right, can he win the big one? Yeah. And then he wins a big one, and now you don't, you know, he's not quite the choker that we remember. He's just a small C choker and not the colossal, you know, gag artist that he was up until he finally won one. And so Rask is going to have to deal with that. That's just, that's the way of sports, man.
I mean, I love the way the caller put it. That should be a bumper sticker. Until he hoists. Like, absolutely. And look, again, how do you not love the way he's played? But the fact is, they've had a long layoff. You reset the whole thing now. You know, the difficulty level intensifies with every round. Like, the last round has, you know, double the weight of everything that's happened thus far.
John in Springfield, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, in terms of the goaltending, I don't think it's about Binnington being a great goaltender. I mean, we saw, you know, Jaguar with the Ducks just get hot for a couple of runs, and I think he ended up with one or two Stanley Cups. So, you know, I think it's just all about situation. And the last time Tuukka Rask had this much time off, he got lit up by Washington in the first game of the year. So that's the only thing that concerns me.
Okay. There you go. There's some negative Rask commentary. here we go, Murray.
Go all the way back to October in their worst game, literally, of the season.
It was 7-0 they lost.
People really are traumatized by this guy. And look, I have for the most part, too, but I look at the most recent sample size, and maybe that's recency bias because everyone likes using that term in this business. But I have to believe, like, of anything going on with that team right now, he's the least of my concerns.
Well, and also, when he had that layoff early in the year, didn't he come back and beat the Capitals 1-0?
Yeah, so I don't remember how it times out, man. I think they beat the Capitals on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
Which is why no one remembers it.
Right.
It was the day of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But I thought that leave of absence was, you know, well, pretty well prior to that. I thought it was in November.
So there was. But I remember reading somewhere along there that when he came back from something happened, he missed a little time and came back and won a game and pitched a shutout. So it wasn't 11 days off.
He's always been better with rest. I mean, this is established, you know? It's just, this is unique. It's not 11 days between games. It's, you know, playing 2 out of every 3 games and having the backup play 40 games or whatever. Like, that's usually how we compute his rest, not something like this. This is going to be different for all of them. It's going to be different for all of them. And I think, like, you know, the caller said, if we can get DeBrusk going and, you know, you have those other guys going. So it's been so long and it's such a reset. Like, do I still think that Coyle and Johansson are hot and are, you know, are
good question,
are contributing on a consistent basis? It's been almost 2 freaking weeks since they played.
Yeah, and you know what? Coyle's another one that's important in this series, too, because he's got size.
But, and you know, and DeBrusk hasn't been scoring, but I know it's been 2 weeks. It's like, does the whole thing start all over?
Yes, complete reset. Complete reset. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if you see both teams go through, like, a real sort of conservative feeling each other out for the first period tonight, at least.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts. We'll take your calls all day long up until 7 o'clock and the Bruins pregame show. Then, of course, we have the game tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub, your official station of the Boston Bruins. That's not what we're called, but that's just what came out.
Home of the Bruins.
We're not going to do all Bruins today, are we? We're going to take a few little breathers because there is some news that does concern us. Another Patriots player has failed a steroid test, so that's on the line. And Brady continues to play catch with the Butlers and some of his teammates in the backyard at the Bruce Wayne Mansion in Brookline. So look at those two items in our long commercial-free segment right after this.
It's Felger and Mass. That's a Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Mass and Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Felger and Mass from the Star Market Booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals, the only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I was retired. I was done. I was done for a few months and around, I would say, late April, early May. Probably started thinking about it and I made myself available. And, you know, there are really only about 2 places that I would consider playing, coming back here and staying in New Orleans was another consideration. Once I made myself available, got a call, so I thought it'd be an interesting opportunity. You never know if you're going to come back, but I'm glad that I am.
Why were those the only 2 places?
So that was Ben Watson last week. during this media availability, and we're just doing a little Bruins breather here because this happened over the weekend. Ben Watson, 38-year-old tight end who had retired, re-signs with the Patriots last month, and we're all like, oh, interesting little move there by the Pats. He shows up at the OTAs, talks to the media, goes through whatever, 20 minutes of interviews, talks to everybody about why he came back, the decisions to go into it, everything. Never mentions the fact that he failed a steroid test and going to miss the first month. Because he posts on Facebook on Sunday, just yesterday, that he's going to miss the first four games for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. Watson, I'm reading from, I can't remember what story, this might be Mike Reese. Watson wrote in his note that he expected to retire this offseason. He said that in early March, though, a doctor prescribed him bioidentical testosterone cypionate to help Watson heal his body and mind after a long career in football. Watson still took an NFL PED test on March 29th and said he had forgotten all about it when NFL teams started showing interest in him in late April. Watson said he got word of his suspension on May 3rd, and the Patriots were aware of it when he signed on May 9th. Your thoughts?
I think it's bull crap. I think he totally... Here's what I think happened. Okay,
here's the first question. Do you buy his story?
No, it's complete bull crap. That's complete, total, utter bull crap. Like, I'm supposed to buy that? No, here's what happened. He retired. He stopped taking whatever masking agent that he was taking that hid the PEDs that were in his system. And then all of a sudden he decided to come out of retirement and he signed with the Patriots and he failed the test. That's what happened. And you know what? That's okay. But this whole thing of testosterone, what was it called?
Here it is, Maz. You're smart. You know medical stuff. Bioidentical testosterone. Cypionate?
No idea.
Yeah,
never
that's
heard of
fancy
it.
For steroids. Yeah. That's what that is.
The other thing is, how does testosterone heal your mind?
Right.
please.
What a load of crap. Please, that is one of the biggest bullcrap excuses I've ever heard in my life. Seriously, the guy retired. He stopped taking the stuff that masked it. And then he had to take a test when he was going to come back and he got popped.
Well,
bang!
Okay.
End of story.
But even if you take him at his word and the Patriots knew about it, doesn't that show you how desperate they kind of are at that position? Like, oh, well, you're going to get popped four games anyway? Well, we still need you because
yes.
It's Austin Seferian Jenkins, whatever the hell they have at that position right now. So they need him.
So the thing is, it's such a believable story. Look, I was retired. So whatever. I didn't think I was going to be tested. So I did some things that would have failed, but the part I don't believe is that he forgot. Well, I mean, this guy is in tremendous shape, and he always has been. And if you're a guy like that, you don't forget.
No.
You don't forget what you're
taking it because he didn't think he was going to need it anymore.
I mean, that's absurd. You know, any bodybuilder, which is what he essentially is. I mean, his physique has always been just through the roof. So anyone who trains on that level knows what they're taking, when they're taking it, what the ramifications. They don't forget. It's very regimented. So that's the unbelievable part. But again, if you just viewed it from 10,000 feet, he retired. So he didn't think he was going to be tested. Then he ended up being tested. Whoops, I didn't know I was coming back. There's just, and especially from him because he's a really solid guy.
Yeah.
You know, adult, professional, you know, good reputation, really good reputation, and all those things. So you sort of add what he is as a person and a pro with that excuse, and you say, you know, again, Michael Hurley's and Jerry Thornton's of the world are saying, say he's fine. There's nothing to see here. And so, I mean, there's cover there, right?
Sure.
But if you're just fair about it, like, I don't believe any of these guys.
No, of course not.
No matter how good or bad the excuse, they're all doing something.
They have to.
Sometimes,
you can't
right?
get through that sport and through that season without having to take something. I'm fine with it. I would hope that they were. Most violent sport that there is, please.
Yeah. Here's now the third straight year. You're going to have a guy who got caught. Not that Brady got caught for PEDs, but a guy that got nabbed, missed a month, and came back, or maybe three of the last four, whatever it is, and is probably going to be better off for it. I mean, Edelman,
oh, definitely.
Not taking those hits, he was probably better at the end of the year because of it. Ends up being Super Bowl MVP.
I mean, he was dynamite.
Was Brady Super Bowl MVP the year he missed? Or was that the year they lost to the Eagles? It blends together.
No, the year he did that, they won.
Yeah, they won.
That was the Falcons.
Yeah.
That was the Atlanta year.
Yeah.
He was a Super Bowl MVP.
I think he was, yeah. So Ben Watson's going to be MVP in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so miss a month, you know, get nabbed, miss a month, come back fresh at the end of the year, win a Super Bowl MVP, Patriot way.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, this from the standpoint of missing the four games, I don't think the Patriots care. I think they look at it and say, no, we're good with you playing 12.
They clearly don't care because they still signed him.
Well, so, and maybe they knew, maybe they didn't. Like, I'm not even sure that was completely true.
Oh, do you know something about that?
No, not at all.
Because so when he says, he wrote, he got word of his suspension on May 3rd, and the Patriots were aware of it when he signed on May 9th. You think Ben would make that up if that wasn't true?
I think that if he and the team came to agreement on that, sure. Like, I think that they could look at it and say, well, we didn't know. We still want you, though. So just tell them we knew about it and no one will care. You know, like something like that. Like, why make a big deal out of it? Because if we say we didn't know, then it's do we really want the player and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So this way it's nice and tidy. Nobody asks. And I'm just saying, honestly, I don't even care about that part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I look at it and say, if the team did or didn't know, I don't care. 12 games is good. I'll take the 12 games. It's not a ton of money, and they could use his presence in the locker room, so I'm okay with that part of it.
Yeah, he gets it. Full training camp, full offseason.
Absolutely.
And then misses four games and is fresh as lettuce when he shows up in October.
Totally right.
And jacked.
Yeah, but there's no way. I'm sorry. Like, he retired and he said, well, I don't have to take this crap anymore. You know, nothing to mask it because I'm not taking any more PED tests. And then Bill Belichick called and, well, what? You know what? I won't come back. And then he failed the test. That's what I think happened.
Okay, so I don't believe anyone, you know, whether you are a an upstanding citizen or not. So he falls in that same category. Quickly, also in that OTA, we talked about it last week, N'Keal Harry and who was the veteran receiver from the Colts they got?
Dontre Lehman.
Talking about they haven't spoken to Brady yet. And Harry said, I just, had a few contact with them on social media, so they sent each other the old eggplant emoji or whatever, and that was the extent of the contact, which, again, I'm sorry, it's just not a great look. And the next thing you know, there's N'Keal Harry in the backyard at the Wayne Estate, at the Bruce Wayne Estate, playing catch with Brady and the Butlers.
Yeah, Alfred the Butler let him in the side door.
So what do you make of this? Can I go first?
Yeah. Convenient timing.
I don't know. Why can't they just be doing this in Foxborough with the team? Like, they're all there. Brady's there. Why can't? And if this is Bill saying either show up or don't, we want you all in or all out. I don't want to have to plan you for 3 days here, 2 days there. Because people have said this. Kern has reported this, that Bill wants you to either commit to the full program or don't show up at all. So if that's a Belichick thing, I would say, would you relax that? This is Brady you're talking about, your first-round receiver. Why can't they all work together at the team facility with the team coaches, the team video staff, and just like do it like a normal team? You're all here in town. It's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. And this was the blah heard around New England, by the way, because I start the show Saturday with Gasper. 19 people sending me this. Like, okay, I saw it.
Well, hold on. So you're saying they liked Brady working with Harry?
Yes, they did.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it matters.
Well, so hold on. They actually like the fact that Brady's putting in work with his receivers in the offseason.
Yeah.
Fans like that.
Yes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Funny. Okay, well, that's... I mean, I don't know.
See, it does matter, though. I guess it does.
To me, it proves the point.
Right.
That people do like it.
Now, can we get Dontrell Inman to slide into, can you slide into his DMs on Instagram, too, and have him come by the mansion? How about any of these other guys? How about the stiff they got from Denver? What's his name?
Demaryius Thomas.
Can you start working with some of these other guys you've never worked with before?
How about just show up for OTAs?
Why don't you go down to the stadium?
Yeah.
What's the diff? You're here.
That's the part of it that is striking. Like, he's here, he's in town, but it's got to be at his house. It just comes off as a screw you, I'll do it when I want to do it kind of thing, which I think sucks. So, but they have they got a receiver in the first round. They went out and invested something significant to help the passing game. You'd think that Brady could show up and said he's going to have the kid hop in an Uber and come to his house.
So, look, folks, either you care about him working with his teammates in the offseason or you don't. If you care and you liked it, if you got a little Brady in your shorts, and I do too. Like, when my teams, I see them working hard in the offseason, it's like, yeah, like, I like it. So when they're not there, I don't like it. That's sort of a consistent point A to point B. So try it sometimes, Patriots fans. Do you like it when he puts in the work in the offseason? Because if you like it, then you probably shouldn't like it when he's not there. I'm probably asking for too much there.
Well, Brady clearly wanted it out there that he was working with the kid.
So, anyway, sausage emojis all around for Brady and N'Keal Harry. There's your little Patriots breather to your calls, I promise. 90 seconds for an update with Murray, and then we're right back here from Canal Street.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.